This is the audio interview for Cheryl Brogdon Chesser. Hey, Cheryl, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good. We are doing this for the Sugar Hill Historic Preservation Society for historical purposes. Is it okay to record this?
It is.
Awesome. Okay, we will go ahead and get started. I know I just introduced your name, but if you'll give me your full name.
Cheryl Brogdon Chesser.
Okay. And who were your parents?
My father was Nelson Brogdon Sr., and my mother was Bertie Simmons Brogdon.
Okay. Okay. Now, where did you grow up at?
I grew up in Sugar Hill. I was born January 28th, 1946 in Beaufort. Daddy got out of the Army in 1945, and then when he got out of the Army, they rented a house on Chadbourne Avenue across the railroad from the Bone Allen Mansion, because he went back to work at Bone Allen Saddle Factory.
Okay.
And so they rented a house there until I was two. And when I was 2 years old, they bought a house in Sugar Hill, which is on it was a dirt road. And it was right there where the bridge is that crosses the river, where what's now Nelson Brogdon Boulevard.
Okay.
Back then, it was just a little dirt road with very little traffic on it. I lived there until I got married when I was 21. I moved right down the road, still barely in Sugar Hill, still on the same road, lived in the area for all my life.
Okay. How many siblings did you have?
I have two brothers and two sisters. My brother Milton Nelson Brogdon Jr., it's 3 years older than I am. He was born in 1943. He died about 5 years ago. And then I have a sister. I was a second child. And then my sister, Wanda Brogdon Bland, was born in 1948. And my brother, Lanier Brogdon, was born in 1955. And Rosemary Brogdon Nalloway was born in 1957.
Okay. And the girls are the only ones living?
No, my brother Lanier is still living. Okay. Wilson is the only one that's deceased.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. All right. And so where were you? Were you born in that house?
I was born in the house in Beaufort.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There wasn't a hospital around here.
Okay.
Me and Milton and Wanda were all three born. Milton was born in a house in Beaufort, right downtown Beaufort. I was born in Beaufort, and then moved. Then we moved to Sugar Hill in 1948. And then Wanda was born in Sugar Hill in 1948. Now Rosemary, we were still living in Sugar Hill when Lanier and Rosemary were born, but by that time we had a hospital in Beaufort, so they were born at Beaufort, the original hospital in Beaufort.
Okay. All right. So the house that you lived in after you were two and moved to Sugar Hill, of course the bridge was not there. I think they had a name for that area, Mangum's Crossing. Is that correct?
That's what they called it, I think. It was Mangum's Crossing was just right out from our house. I was lucky. We had family all around us. My Aunt Drew lived across the street. My Uncle Ben Brogdon and Aunt Mert lived right up the street, and my Aunt Minnie Ruby Rand Brogdon's store right there across the railroad from Mangum's store.
Okay. What did she have in her store?
What did Minnie Ruby have in the store?
Yeah, what kind of things did she sell in the store?
It was a general store. My granddaddy built that store years and years and years and years back. And she inherited it because she was the only one that wasn't married. And he put in his will that it, as long as she did not get married, the store was hers. but if she got married, then it would be sold and the money distributed among all the other siblings. And my daddy and Aunt Ruby, Nelson Brogdon was one of 15 kids. He was the 13th of 15 children.
My goodness.
He always said that he was unlucky because he was 13. And when he and mother got married, she said, "You're not unlucky anymore," because her father had been married before and his first wife died and he remarried. So she was her father's 11th child and her mother's 7th child. And she told Daddy that 11 and 7 bumped 13, and he could forget the 13 crap.
Oh my goodness.
But mother worked with Daddy a lot as far as, you know, the mother didn't work outside the home after, I think, Milton was born. When she and Daddy moved to Sugar Hill and Daddy became mayor, mother could take shorthand. She was real good at shorthand, and she had one of the few typewriters around, even though it was an old manual typewriter. That's about what they had back then. And she would take she would take notes and transcribe them and type them up. She kept a copy out with the official secretary of Sugar Hill at the time, I think that was Guy Franklin. But she was involved a lot in that too.
I didn't realize that. Did y'all keep her part of the records, or
Rosemary and Wanda found some of them. We thought that they had been destroyed, you know, years before. One time when the basement flooded, but when they were going through, then mother kept everything.
Yeah.
When they were going through paperwork and stuff, they found some of that stuff. And I don't know exactly how much they did find. It wasn't a lot, but they did find some things. Yeah. And with the, where she had kept a copy there, because she said, I was, you know, I remember saying that she was keeping a copy, but she used carbon paper. You know, back then, you used carbon paper to make your second copy because she didn't have copy machines or anything. And so she said she didn't trust those men not to throw them away.
That's funny. So tell me what it was like growing up as a kid in that area over there.
It was quiet. I went to Sugar Hill Elementary School. Started in Sugar Hill in 1952. That was the old Sugar Hill school building. The high school was right beside the elementary school. And then sometimes we would walk to school and no problem. It was nobody worried about anybody, you know, as far as anybody doing anything to anybody or any dangers and stuff. But Most of the roads, like I said, were, most of the roads were dirt. All of them were, but most of the roads were dirt. And after we didn't have, city water or county water or anything like that. When I was little, everybody had a well. Then after Daddy became mayor, he got the water in for the city of Sugar Hill, and got the gas in for the city of Sugar Hill. And when they were getting the gas in for the city of Sugar Hill, I remember the I especially remember Mr. Littrell, who was one of the people from the gas company in Texas that would come out and meet with Daddy. He always came in and early, though, and he would always come to the house and have supper with us before they would go out to the and meet with the rest of the councilman and all. But he said he liked Mother's fried chicken and biscuits.
Oh.
And her bread meat. So he always made sure that I knew if it was the middle of the week and we were having Sunday dinner in the middle of the week, Mr. Littrell was probably coming.
All right. Did you have the option to ride the bus, or did you have to walk to school?
No, I had the option to ride the bus. We only walked to school when the weather was nice and we just wanted to.
Okay.
Or if we missed the bus.
Right. So who were some of your neighbors?
Dewey Thompson lived beside us. And on the other side, around the curve, the property that joined ours, Mr. and Ms. Burrell lived there. And that was a duplex where the Burrells lived. And part of that time, the Pruitts lived with them. And that other half of that duplex changed people a few times. And then beside that house, there was May Carlisle owned the house beside that one, between that one and the Brogdon store. Mm-hmm. And May Carlisle house was also a duplex, and so because she didn't like being by herself.
Okay, all right. You don't really think about having duplexes back then in the the late 40s, early 50s.
These houses had. Both those houses had six rooms each. You had three rooms on one side, three rooms on the other side. You had two front doors, two back doors. And nobody had indoor bathrooms back then. Some people did, but we didn't.
Okay.
I was in the summer between the third and fourth grade, we finally got an indoor bathroom.
So the duplexes, they just shared a kitchen? Is that how that worked?
No, they had a living room, a bedroom, and a kitchen on each side.
Okay.
They shared an outdoor toilet.
Okay. 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 I know you were small, but what do you remember about not having indoor plumbing as far as, having to get the water, wash the clothes, even go to the outhouse, those types of things?
It was just routine. You didn't think about it. It wasn't anything. It didn't bother us because that's just the way it was. And that's it's what you get used to.
Right.
It's what you, if you don't have it and have never had it, you don't miss it.
Okay. I'm sure you had a clothesline too.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay. Okay. So your elementary school went first grade to what grade?
First grade through the eighth.
Okay. Tell me.
Well, let me rephrase that. It went first grade through the seventh. Sorry. It went first grade through the seventh, and then the eighth through the 12th was in high school. Now, like I said, the schools were right beside each other until the summer between the third and fourth grade, when they were building North Grant High School, and they moved Sugarville Elementary School across the street. Across the road, the back road, while they were building the new elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
The new elementary school sat directly across from what's now the city hall.
Okay. When they moved that, do you have any memories of them moving that building?
Oh, yeah. and going to school over there. The schools were heated both before they moved it and after they moved it. Before they built the, when I was in the sixth grade, we were in the new building. And we had hot water heat, you know, that ran through the pipes, radiant heat, I guess you call it. But before that, the schools were heated with coal. We had pot-bellied stoves in the middle of the room, and all of us kids thought it was great when the teacher would let us go out and bring in a bucket of coal because we got out of class for a little bit.
Okay. When they actually moved the building, I mean, I'm sure y'all were going to class. When they were doing the construction, do y'all remember watching it out the window or seeing any of that?
No, they visited all during the summer.
Okay.
As far as building the new building, you mean? Building the new building, we watched. You know, but we couldn't see it from the what they were doing that much. But we could see it, you know, when we were going home and all.
Okay. I've done some interviews where they mentioned during that transition of going from moving that old elementary school building across the street, of them having to share with the high school in the building and sometimes even go to school on Saturdays. Did you have to do that?
No.
Okay. Okay, that's fine.
Must have been somebody that missed the class or something.
Okay.
But it must have been a special class or something. But the normal classes didn't have to go on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about that area where the school building sat? You said the original elementary was a wood building. They moved across the street. The high school sat next door. What else was in the area that you remember?
Well, the shoe factory was across the street. The shoe factory sat where the current new pretty city hall is.
Okay.
Yeah. And
okay. Did y'all have a gym?
Yes.
Okay.
There was.
Okay. Do you have any memories about the gym?
Oh, yeah. I learned how to square dance in the gym.
Okay. What was it like?
The gym? Uh-huh. It was you know, just a gym. You know, it was, back then, it was considered a nice gym. Nothing like what we have these days, but we all enjoyed it anyway.
Okay. Do you remember the cannery?
Yes, it sat beside the gym.
Okay.
In the corner.
Okay.
Mother and Aunt Gally and then would take vegetables and stuff over there during the summer. Mm-hmm. And when they had a lot, to can. Uh-huh. They'd go over there and can some. They did most of their canning at home, though.
Okay. Did you ever go with them? You remember them doing it?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
They tried to keep us out of the building, though.
Right. That turned into something else later on. What was it later on?
For a little while, it was like a community center where you could rent it to have parties and stuff.
Okay. Back to the elementary school, did you have any teachers that stood out, mentors, or any special things that you did at the school that you remember?
Oh, yeah, I probably had some of the best teachers in the world. Miss Hamilton was my first grade teacher, Miss Dimples, as we called her, because her husband called her that, was my second grade teacher. And her husband would come in, do things, you know, talk to us and stuff. And I remember one time he made screens for us so that we could do screen painting. We put leaves down and we just rubbed the paint over the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And make pictures with it and things like that. And we had some good teachers. I can't complain about any of the teachers that I had all the way through from first grade through the 12th, as far as that goes.
All right.
I had teachers that wanted to teach above our level, and that helped.
All right. Anything else about your elementary school years that I haven't already asked you that you might want to add?
No, I can't think of anything.
Okay. On to your teenage high school years. So, did you go to Sugar Hill High School too?
No. Went to North Gwinnett.
Okay. All right. So it was a fairly new school when...
Yeah, it was new because my first year at North Gwinnett was in the fall of 1959, in the 8th grade. Sugar Hill didn't have an 8th grade in the elementary school, but Swanee and Harmony did. So when they let Sugar Hill 8th grade go to North Gwinnett before Swanee and Harmony didn't go to North Gwinnett until the 9th grade, but Sugar Hill went in the 8th grade.
Okay. What was it like going to North Gwinnett during that time?
Oh, it was fun. It's driving my brother crazy because he was already at North Gwinnett. But anyway, no, I enjoyed going to North Gwinnett. I loved it. We had, like I said, we had good teachers. I had good teachers. I think some of them may not have been quite as good, but I lucked out on having some good teachers and some good friends.
Okay. What did you do for fun as a teenager?
As a teenager?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we went to basketball games and went to drive-in movies. And by that time, the theater in Buford had closed. That closed when I was in the 6th grade. The drive-in, Sugar Hill is open, and I went roller skating a lot. I loved to roller skate. And we went bowling. Not that we didn't go bowling in Sugar Hill basket when the bowling alley was open, but the girls didn't. We usually went somewhere else, went to Louisville and all bowling. But because we didn't have a good bowling alley here then. But mostly just roller skating and getting together with friends. And then when we got our driver's license, just driving around Beaufort and driving around Churchill Hill and Clarksville and coming in the lake and just getting together with friends.
Okay. Was there any significant national or international events that you remember that happened when you were young? Yeah, just during your time when you were young that you remember that was really stands out in your mind.
No, not really. Just the fair coming to town every year. We had a little bitty fair that came to town every year, which was not an international, not anything like you're talking about. But to us little kids, it always, the fair would come with us across the railroad from where we lived. But as far as anything, I don't know of anything that sticks in my mind.
Okay. All right. That's the first time I've heard that, so that's interesting.
The fair?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, it was across the street. Mm-hmm. And that, you remember where the water tank was?
Uh-huh.
Okay, the fair, the water tank wasn't there. And then even after the water tank was there, the fair would come right beside where the water tank was,
mm-hmm.
that flat area.
Uh-huh.
And also, every summer, they would have revivals there. Different denominations would have revivals there in big tents. And, they were big to us anyway. But that little fair would come every year.
Huh. And what all kind of things were at the fair that you remember that stands out in your mind?
It's a typical fair. They always had a Ferris wheel and a merry-go-round and little cars and they always had all the little things to take the money. You know, the little yellow ducks running around in water that you pick up and things like that.
Right.
And the cotton candy and just the people. Because you knew you were going to see all your friends there and relatives and everything.
Okay. Okay. Did you work when you were a teenager?
No, I didn't go to work until I graduated from high school.
Okay.
I didn't work outside the house then, but Daddy had two jobs. He worked at Von Allen Saddle Factory, designing, cutting designs into saddles, and then he also had a side business where he made billfolds and belts and sold them. And when I got, oh God. I guess I was maybe when I was little, so I would have been in about the third or fourth grade. Daddy taught me how to lace billfolds, and he would pay me 50 cents a billfold to lace billfolds and help Mother out with things like that.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah, you had to do what you had to do to help out, didn't you? So,
I did what I did, so I could go skating.
Oh, so you could go skating. Okay, all right. Okay. So, he worked for Bone Allen, had his side job with the billfold belts. Was he mayor during this time?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any background on how he became about becoming mayor?
All I know is that, and I don't remember who it was, kind of, they asked him, they pretty much told him that he needed to be mayor because they, you know, the other mayor, the first mayor was, wanted somebody else to take over, and Daddy first said he didn't think he was qualified to do that, and everybody told him, yeah, he was, and so anyway, they convinced him to run for mayor, and so he did, and became mayor.
Okay.
He was mayor for 6 years.
Did you ever attend any of the meetings or have any memories of him being mayor for, you know, bringing something into fruition? Or I know you mentioned the water and gas, but is there anything else you want to add?
I did go to the council meetings were, you know, kind of informal. And Wilson and I went to about as many council meetings as Daddy did. Some of them were held in our living room. Because a lot of, sometimes, you know, them having three kids, too, the councilman would come to the house instead of meeting somewhere else, or meeting over at Guy Franklin's little building over there, and to make it easier on Mother, and for taking the notes and all that stuff. And I think they just like sitting around drinking coffee better too, and getting their business done. But the main thing I remembered about that member about the council meetings was, don't. You know, you need to sit still or go outside and play, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Okay. All right. And so for you, high school, after high school, you just started working. You didn't attend college?
I didn't attend college then. I took classes afterwards from work.
Okay. Where'd you go then?
I just went to an insurance school.
Oh, okay. All right. So you still lived at home for a little bit before you got married, if you didn't get married until 21, correct?
Right.
Okay. Who did you marry?
I married Joe Chester. He graduated from Central Gwinnett. We lived on the same road. He's closer to Lawrenceville, and I was in Churchill. We just didn't meet until I was 20.
Okay.
Yeah, he's from the area. He was born on the same road, just a few miles down.
Okay. Now, do y'all have children?
We do. We have two children, Jeff and Sandy.
Okay. Grandchildren?
We have two grandchildren and two step grandchildren and five step great grandchildren.
Right. Okay. And what did you do for work after you and your husband married?
I worked for an insurance company for 20-something years and then went to worked for an insurance agency after that for a while, and then my husband has always been in the steel business and wanted to start his own company, so I quit, and he and I ran a steel fabrication company. I just did the accounting end of it, and he did everything else for about 15 years, something like that. And then we retired. And then since then, I worked part time, doing some accounting for a little company in Lawrenceville.
Okay. So a lot of these places you've mentioned, but if you have something else to add, you can let me know. do you remember the creation of Lake Lanier and Buford Dam?
Oh, yes, definitely. We went over there every few days. Learned how to swim over there. Stepped off in a sinkhole.
Uh-oh.
When will you die?
Okay. When you say stepped off in a sinkhole, was that when you were playing in the lake or when it was being built? Or
it was a combination. It was still being built. But we would go over there and go swimming.
Okay. Okay. Did you have any family members that worked on building the dam?
Yeah. My uncle, Julian Simmons, that lived in South Georgia, came up and worked on building the dam for months. I forgot how long. And the bit of that time, he would stay with us and then go home on weekends. And the pay was good. And, yeah. And did a good bit of work over there.
Okay. As far as the businesses in, I'm going to call it the downtown area, which is not the downtown area today, I would say more. Your area was probably the downtown area, but... do you remember passing Puckett's?
Oh, yeah, everybody knew passing Puckett's. You had passing Puckett's on one end of that little triangle thing, and you had Venable's store on the other end.
Okay.
And you had Johnson's in the middle, closer to the school. For a while, Johnson's ran a store out there. We would walk from, a lot of times we would walk over to Johnson's store from the school and get candy and stuff over there.
Okay. Any other businesses that you remember being in the area?
Well, you had Mangum's store, and you had Brogdon's store, and you had then... Later on, you had, what was the name of that? You had Deus and Child's Beauty Shop.
Whose beauty shop?
Deus and Child.
Okay. Where was that located at?
That was, right there, right across from the railroad, almost across from us, almost across from our house, just sort of an angle.
Okay. You mentioned the drive-in movie theater. Is there anything you want to add about that?
No, we just had a lot of good memories from that van.
Okay. And you said the water towers weren't there. Do you remember when the water towers went up?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we stayed up out watching those water, watching that water tower go up, and being amazed at how high it was getting, and got in trouble so much. My mother, don't go over there. And of course we went over there. As soon as the workers left, we'd go see what they'd been doing. But we couldn't see from the house. We could pretty much see it all from the house. But we'd go over there, and then as soon as I got it, you know, as we would get it built, we'd try to climb it. And Mother would get so, got more spankings for trying to climb that water tower. We weren't supposed to even be over there. And then during the summer, once after the water was in and everything, sometimes during the summer, the water would overflow. And we would head over there and get under the water and play in the water.
Oh. All right. What about the Sugar Hill Drive-In Restaurant?
Oh, that's, I forgot all about it. That's B-Rail's restaurant. And then, yes, that's been there forever. And my brother worked there for, when he was in high school at the bellhop. Yeah. But we all went out there all the time. And usually when we went skating, we'd go up there and get hamburgers, too. And then on dates and stuff, we'd go by there and get stuff. That was across the street from Sugar Hill Methodist Church, from the first Sugar Hill Methodist Church building. Daddy was real instrumental in getting the Methodist Church in Sugar Hill, and he and Ed Camp, Carl Eric Tuggle, all of the first 10 charter members, Dan Brogdon, which is my uncle, and got Sugar Hill Church started. That started in Ed Winnie Camp's house. And then in 1948, the same year Daddy became mayor, they built the first little church building there.
Okay.
And we had the bowling alley beside. We had a house, and then the bowling alley that had been there for as long as I can remember, before my time probably. But then you had the skating rink up there on the same side of the road where the Sugar Hill Drive-In was. Sugar Hill Drive-In space, one street in the bowling alley, was on that little cut through.
Right.
And not the bowling alley, but the skating rink, sorry.
Right. So y'all attended the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church?
We attended the Methodist Church.
Okay, all right. Do you remember going to the church in Ed and Winnie's house?
Oh yeah, I do. We went. I was little, but I remember it. I remember living in Buford. People tell me I couldn't have, but I do. I've known a lot about it, but I do. But yeah. I remember going to church out there when they first started it, and I remember them coming to our house. Remember the district, whatever it was, anyway, coming to our house and meeting and talking about starting a church. And Daddy took me and Milton with him around the community, trying to see if it was going to be feasible to start the church and try to talk people into it. And also, Milton and I went with Daddy when he was trying to get people to want to vote for the water line and for the gas.
Okay.
And I think he used this as a look at these little children. They need more than what we've got. Well, I'm serious about that.
Yeah, whatever it took. That's
it was.
Yeah, definitely. Now you mentioned the shoe shop. Did you have any members of the family that worked there, or did you ever go there?
Yeah, Aunt Drew worked there. I thought somebody else did, but I don't remember. But I know Aunt Drew worked there for a while. Aunt Drew worked at Bon Allen, but then for a while she worked at the shoe shop there. And she angry with the Bronson, too. That was one of Daddy's sisters. I mean, she was three Bronson cars. And the cars were from that area forever, too.
Okay. What about cannonballs?
That's the one I was trying to think of. And I forgot the name of. Yeah, cannonballs was across the railroad from us.
Okay. Anything you want to add about that business or him?
No, we just went over there and had some good bargains every once in a while. Most of the time.
Okay.
And it was fun just to go over there and look and see what all he had when he'd come in with a new load. Whether you bought anything or not.
Okay. So, growing up right there on the railroad track, my next question is going to be about natural disasters or any train wrecks that you remember growing up that may have stood out, tornadoes, anything like that.
Well, I don't remember having any tornadoes. There were some train accidents there. One of the main train accidents that sticks out in my mind is one that I walked up there. I was actually grown by that time, but I was still real young, about 21, 22, something like that. No, I was 21 because I was pregnant with Jeff. There was a car accident, a car from Atlanta across the railroad track there. The crossing's not there now. It was called Mangum's Crossing. There was a bad train wreck there, and I got there. We heard it hit, and some of us ran up there and got there before anybody else did hardly, and it was awful. The people was just pieces. And there was another train wreck at the crossing down further that was a bad wreck. And then there weren't a lot of train wrecks. It's just that when they happened, there were bad train wrecks. And the railroad there is a three track, because that was a switch track. That's where the trains switch when they pass each other. So they would sit and idle for a long time, waiting on other trains.
Okay. All right. Do you remember when the bridge was built?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. What was that like? Because that kind of changed the dynamics of everything over there.
That definitely changed everything. Most of my life, but a good bit of my life, Daddy would say, they're going to change this road, they're going to widen this road, and they're going to buy our house. And for once in a while, yeah, the highway's going to come through here, and we're not going to have this house anymore because they're going to do away with it. Well, sure enough, eventually, after years and years, they eventually came through and bought the house and built that bridge. And I really hated for them to do that, but I know it's really, it's a good thing. It may get, we would never have had the traffic that we do now, been able to handle it without that four-lane road, without that bridge. But the main thing is that putting that bridge there eliminated a lot of problems too. Also, it kept teenagers and stuff from racing on that road and crashing, you know, and wrecking up that hill.
When y'all sold out for the bridge to be built, where did y'all move to then?
I was already married by then, but Daddy bought a house straight down that road, just about maybe a mile, still inside Sugar Hill, down there at Duncan's, because you remember where Duncan's store was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The second house before you get to Duncan's store, facing the railroad, is where Daddy moved. Okay. The Haneys had owned it before.
Yeah, they called that Duncan Town over there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to add about that, about the bridge being built and how that changed the area or anything?
Oh, no, nothing. It just totally, completely changed the area and changed the real kind of like, you know, this is not going to cause traffic. This is not going to do this. Yeah, it will. Just like Molly Georgia wasn't going to change traffic either, was it?
Right. Do you have any memories about the gold mines in the area?
Yeah, I didn't actually go into the gold mines. That had been closed down from way before my time. But my granddaddy, my great-granddaddy, had the gold mine. The entrance to it's in Frontier Forest, what's now Frontier Forest. But I've got two of the big stones that were used in the gold mine that have holes in the center, but they're huge. They're about 4 feet in diameter. Maybe bigger than that. And real thick that came out of that gold mine.
Okay.
That they used when they were working in it.
Okay. So you mentioned the gold mine was in Frontier Forest.
The entrance to it, yeah, all of that was farmland. That was great-granddaddy's farmland.
Okay.
And great-great-great, all the way back.
All right.
Maybe the Brogdon came to Sugar Hill, well, to the Sugar Hill area, back in the 1700s, and our family's been here ever since.
Okay. So did your great-great-grandparent, did they do any gold mining, or did they just farm and the mine was there?
No, my great granddaddy did gold mining.
Okay.
And we farmed also.
Okay.
And then my granddaddy Brogdon, ran a store in, besides having the little store there in Sugar Hill, he also ran a store, warehouse store in Beaufort.
Okay.
Right near the train terminal.
And that had like vegetables from the garden and stuff.
The one in Buford?
Either one of them, yeah.
That was before my time, because my granddaddy died way before my time. My daddy was 17 when his daddy died. From what I was told, the cotton and vegetables, all kinds of things. I'm not sure what all he sold up there, but then at the store in Sugar Hill, Douglas store in Sugar Hill, it's a general merchandise store that sold vegetables and meats and canned goods and all kinds of little things, little lamps and little, just general store. Whatever anybody wanted, anywhere you try to get and sell.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the farm near Frontier Forest. I think that from an interview from your sister, that your dad inherited it from an aunt?
Yeah. He didn't hear the part that was Frontier Forest. That had been sold off years before. But Daddy inherited 17 acres there.
Okay.
Right where Foggy Foods was built.
Okay.
On that hill.
All right.
And that was where I first lived, was in her house there. It didn't have running water in 1967, and it didn't have a bathroom in 1967. So before we got married, we had to have running water and bathroom put in.
Okay. All right.
But it was completely furnished, and she didn't charge us a penny to live there.
There was another house there that was over 100 years old, I think.
Oh, that's the one we lived in.
Oh, that's the one that you lived in. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one that my great-granddaddy, I don't remember if her granddaddy built it or if her daddy built it. That's the one that we lived in that was 100 and something years old. And we've been married 57 years, so. And it was over 100 years old then.
Mm-hmm. And then they eventually tore that down to build the development?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay.
I've got a cabinet out of that, an armoire, I guess you'd call it. Out of that house that Aunt Daisy gave me that was so big that we had to wait until we were tearing the house down to get it out, because my great granddaddy had built the cabinet and then he built the room around it, and you couldn't get it out because it was bigger than the doors.
Oh my goodness.
But I've got it.
Yeah, well, that's a very interesting, something that you got that was, built from your family that you've kept all these years. That's awesome.
Well, it meant a lot to Aunt Daisy. Mm-hmm. And she gave it to me and gave me a picture of my great-grandmother, her mother. And she said that she was afraid that nobody else would want it. And so I got the picture in the original picture frame that came in of my great-grandmother.
Wow.
And complained about us using our new dishes instead of those older stuff.
And she was bugging too.
Okay. All right. Well, you mentioned the Methodist Church. Do you have family members buried in the Sugar Hill Historic Cemetery?
In the Baptist one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. Uncle Bonnie's buried there, and I don't remember who else buried out there. I think Aunt Greg's. Uncle Avery, I think, are buried out there. There's several buried out there. Most of the Brogdons were buried at Level Creek.
Okay.
Because my great-granddaddy and my granddaddy started Level Creek Church. And a good many of the Brogdons, including Nelson Brogdon, and Freddie Brogdon are buried at Level Creek Cemetery. But we do have relatives buried at what was Baptist Cemetery.
Okay. So your dad helped to build the Methodist Church, but your great-granddaddy and granddaddy helped to build Level Creek Church.
Right.
Okay. And I think from your sister's interview, there's like five generations buried at the Level Creek Church.
Yeah, at least probably.
Okay. Okay. Your sister had mentioned going back to the gold mine that was there at Frontier Forest that your great-grandparents had mined it and leased the land for it to be mined, and that y'all might have some paperwork or articles pertaining to that or some kind of log.
I think Rosemary or Wanda will not have that.
Okay.
Now, what I've got, I think I've got it. And I know either I've got it or Wanda has it, and I think I've got it. It's the original deed that from when my grandfather bought a bunch of land that's now Sugar Hill and all. From the Creek Indians.
Okay. I'd love to see that.
Dig it out. And I think we've got it between plastic, so that because it was crumbling.
Uh-huh.
Mother had it, and we found it in Mother's stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love to have that. I'd love to make a copy to put with your family stuff and... when we're done with the interview, I'll talk to you about some of the other pictures and stuff, too.
Okay.
Wanda had mentioned there being a picture in Applebee's of the farm, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Not in Applebee's. Is that Applebee's?
That's what she said. Of Arthur's Field.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it is of Granddad Arthur's Field. And I think I may have the original of that picture.
Okay.
The snapshots. But there's one of some of his kids on a farm wagon.
Uh-huh.
In the field. And I don't remember if that one was that picture or if it was one of the other pictures. But yes, they had a big blow up picture of that was made in his field, and that was in my granddaddy's field.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be interested in that as well for your family to put in our archives . We'll go over that. Do you have any memories of the moonshining that went on in the area?
Of the what?
Moonshining.
You just didn't go near it because you would get chopped.
Okay.
Actually, the house that Joe and I live in now, it's not inside Sugar Grill. It's just out, you know, it's outside Sugar Grill. But it was called Happy Hollow. Guess why?
Okay.
Because supposedly there was moonshining going on here years and years and years and years ago. And then there was also moonshining going on at the river. And, you know, when we were teenagers, you know, you'd go over at Settlers Bridge and all, and there was an area over there that we were cautioned, do not get out walking around in that area. And because the moonshiners over there had no sympathy for you if you were bothering this stuff.
No mercy, huh? Okay. Was there anything else about the Level Creek Church that you wanted to add since, you know, your great-great-grandfather and grandfather were founders of that?
No, you know, just that the Brogdon, the Moors are also part of the Brogdon bunch, you know, descendants. They've always real active in that church for years and years until, you know, things, everybody just kind of spread out and died out.
Right. Well, I think I've asked you everything that there is to ask you, other than I do want to talk to you about some pictures and articles and stuff like that. But living here all of your life and what it looks like today, and where we're going in the future, do you have any comments that you'd like to add?
No, I just think that Daddy would be real proud to see that Sugarhill's got its own theater, it's got things for people to do, and things for the kids to do, and all the things that are going on, and the growth. I think he would be just really proud of that.
Okay. Well, I sure do appreciate your time today, taking the time. I'm glad we finally connected, and I appreciate you doing the interview. I'm going to go ahead and turn the recorder off now.
Okay.